Hello and welcome back to a special edition of As It Is. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today we will talk about a killer. It is a deadly virus known as Ebola. Most people who get infected die a painful death. There is no cure. There is no vaccine to prevent its spread. Aid workers are getting Ebola. Doctors are dying from it. Last Friday, Nigeria became the fourth West African country to confirm the presence of Ebola. 2 days later, Liberia announced it was closing most of its borders in an attempt to contain the virus. Medical workers on the ground in Africa are asking for more international help to contain this deadly disease. Ana Mateo has more on the Ebola outbreak.
An aid group reported this week that Ebola has infected a second American medical worker in Liberia. The American-based group, Samaritan's Purse, has medical experts working in the country. Samaritan's Purse announced Sunday that Nancy Wrightbull is in stable but serious condition at a hospital in Monrovia, the Liberian capital. She was helping with Ebola patients at the Case Management Center when she became infected. The aid group reported last Saturday that the virus also infected American doctor Kent Brantley. He is the medical director at the Case Management Center. He was taken to an isolation center for treatment. Such centers are used to keep the public away from patients suffering from infectious diseases. Melissa Strickland works for Samaritan's Purse. She says the doctor is receiving treatment but is not out of the woods, meaning he is not out of danger.
And we are hopeful for his recovery, but Ebola is an incredibly dangerous, deadly disease. So it is very premature to say that he's out of the woods.
The news of the two Americans testing positive for Ebola follows the death of Samuel Brisbane. Dr. Brisbane worked at Liberia's largest hospital. He was treating Ebola victims when he contracted the virus. He died recently at a treatment center near Monrovia. Melissa Strickland says there are a number of reasons why the virus is difficult to contain. She says that many areas affected by Ebola lack developed infrastructure, meaning good roads and other public services. Ms. Strickland says that superstition, stigma, and misinformation are adding difficulties to an already dangerous situation. A superstition is a belief based on fear of the unknown, and stigma is a poor opinion of someone based on their beliefs, or in this case, their having a disease.
You're dealing with countries who are in the developing world. They do not have the kind of infrastructure that we would see here in the United States. And the population, there's a lot of superstition, a lot of stigma associated with the disease, a lot of misinformation associated with the disease.
Melissa Strickland says Samaritan's Purse is treating people infected with Ebola. But at the same time, the group and other organizations are seeking to educate communities about the disease. And Ms. Strickland is appealing for help in what she calls a battle against Ebola.
What we need is a significant international effort to battle this disease. And we welcome other NGOs and other agencies who will come alongside us in this fight.
I'm Ana Mateo.
Last weekend, the president of Liberia announced measures to try to contain the Ebola virus. President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf said that her country is closing most of its borders. The few entry points that will remain open are Monrovia's International Airport, a provincial airport, and three major overland border crossings. She said all these entry points will have prevention and testing centers. She added that the Liberia Airport Authority will inspect all incoming and outgoing passengers. The government has also banned public gatherings and demonstrations. In another development, health officials are attempting to identify who came into contact last week with a man who later died of the Ebola virus. Patrick Sawyer was 40 years old and served as an advisor to Liberia's finance ministry. Mr. Sawyer took a flight from Liberia to Ghana. He later changed airplanes in Togo for a flight to Nigeria, where he died last Friday. Witnesses said he was sick on at least one of his flights. He reportedly was vomiting and had diarrhea. The expulsion of food from the stomach and body wastes are signs of the disease. Patrick Sawyer was going to Nigeria for a conference. He planned to go to the United States to visit with his wife and children. On Monday, Nigerian officials announced that they had identified more than 50 people who came into contact with Mr. Sawyer. But some fear many more may have had contact with him than is currently known. Jide Idris is health commissioner in Lagos State. He says both the health and aviation departments are searching for other possible Ebola cases.
We call on all Nigerians to be calm and not panic, and do hereby assure them that both the state and the federal governments are up in arms to ensure that the virus does not escape and that no Nigerian is infected with this virus.
Ebola has killed about 700 people across West Africa this year. More than 1,200 others have been infected. Health workers say an outbreak in Lagos, Nigeria's largest city, would be an almost unimaginable disaster. Experts from the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are in West Africa. They are working with government ministries and international organizations to follow the spread of Ebola cases. In the past, the Ebola virus, currently active in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone, killed 90% of those who got sick. The CDC says the death rate for the current outbreak is about 60%. Experts say this shows that early treatment is having an effect. Stephen Monroe studies emerging diseases for the Centers for Disease Control. He spoke during a conference from the CDC's headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia.
We know how to stop the outbreak, and that is to break the chains of transmission. And so what does that involve? It involves first identifying cases through active case finding, and then identifying all of their contacts who had contact with them during the time they were symptomatic and therefore are at risk of becoming infected themselves, and following those contacts daily for 21 days, and if they do develop symptoms, to get them into one of these isolation facilities.
Stephen Monroe says fear and misinformation are preventing some people from seeking treatment.